heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine.
How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life.
His wounds of suffering brought me healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine.
That's good stuff there. Let me just say, that's wonderful stuff. Praise God that Jesus was willing to give his life. Amen. You say, well, he gave it for the whole world, preacher. Well, I know that. But he gave it for you. He gave it for you. Don't ever forget that now. Jesus gave his life for you. He laid down his life in death that you might know what it is to have the joy of eternal salvation. Doesn't get any better than that, brethren. Amen. Doesn't get any better than that. In heaven or earth, it's just a wonderful thing to know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for that. My soul is rejoicing. Or as the psalmist said that we heard in the reading this morning, my cup runneth over. Amen. Psalm 23, thank you so much for the good singing today. The both specials, Near the Cross, that's where we want to stay. Near the Cross, why? Well, that's where he gave his life for mine. Psalm 23, we've been studying through the 23rd Psalm, and today God has given me a message I want to share with you out of the 23rd Psalm, out of that fifth verse. There thou preparest a table for me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. There's three things in this verse that I want you to take note of. We're only going to look at one this morning, but I want you to notice this verse is filled with things that God is doing for us. It's something He has done, and it's something He continues to do. Number one, in verse number 5, I want you to notice that our great shepherd, who this psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, He is preparing the table. He said, Thou preparest. So we see Him preparing the table. And then we see Him applying the oil. Look at what He says. Thou anointest my head with oil. You see that there in verse number 5. So we find the psalmist is preparing the table for me. Thou preparest. It's been prepared. It is prepared. And one day it's going to be. And we'll see that in just a moment. And then He's applying the oil. And of course, this talks about the healing ointment, the balm for the agitations and the irritations of life that a sheep would go through in their journey. And then finally, we see in the latter part of that verse, as I've already made mention to, He is flooding the cup. My cup runneth over. Read something very interesting this week, and I'll not get to that this part of the scripture today. I may later on, but it talked about in the old Eastern culture, when they had guests, they would serve them. The host would serve them. And if they were, if it was ready for them, now listen, here in the West, when we get ready for people to leave, I don't know what y'all do around your house, but I just look at my wife and say, you about ready to go to bed so these folks can leave? Amen. Amen. But you say, we don't handle it that way, preacher. Well, they don't in the East either. In the East, what they do is when they give them a cup, when they quit filling it up, that's a sign to the guest, it's time to bid our farewells. Amen. But here's what the psalmist was saying here. Oh, David, I thank God for David. He was a shepherd and he understood this talk. He said that the shepherd, my Lord, He never gets tired of my presence. He always wants to be supping with me. That supping began in Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, He said, I will come into him and will sup with him. That word is a word for fellowship around the table. I will sup with him. And here David said, my shepherd never gets tired of my fellowship, our company. He just keeps filling my cup up until it's overflowing. Amen. And I'm so thankful that that is the relationship that we can have with God in our Christian experience. My cup runneth over. I want to talk to you a little bit about the table. Last week we were talking about the valley. Verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we talked about that valley and how that the shepherd had been through that valley in preparation of leading the sheep through that valley, and how that Jesus has been through every valley because He has been touched in all points such as we. And He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's even gone through death. And for those of us who will go through death, no longer is death something that we fear, but it is a shadow. And I've never been bitten by a shadow of a dog. I've never been stabbed with the shadow of a sword. And thank God I have no need to fear the shadow of death. Jesus has died the death for you and me. He suffered the cost. He paid the price for sin in our lives so that when we pass through this time, we can pass through it with some comfort. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now in that travel, if you read the 23rd Psalm, you find that it's really a picture of travel. He starts out by telling us, the Lord is my shepherd and He's leading me. You see that in verse number 2? He speaks of the Lord as He. He leadeth me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters. And so He's speaking of the shepherd in the third person, but it gets personal in the shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death. Gets personal. And He no longer is speaking of the shepherd as He. He's speaking to him personally. Something very, very interesting that I read this past week, and I mean it just blessed my soul. Philip Keller, who is a a shepherd in Australia. He's a preacher, and he's a shepherd. His family has been in herding sheep and shepherding sheep for years. And he said that when the sheep are in trouble, when they hear, they have trained ears and senses to sense danger. Now, you may remember when we were talking about the defense mechanisms of the sheep, they have none. They're not only dumb and directionless, they're defenseless. Listen, cats can run, leopards and cheetahs and jaguars, they can run fast. They use their speed as a defense many times to get out of trouble. Others have claws and they have vicious teeth or grips that God has given them, strength of a bear or a lion. You know, they have all of these defense mechanisms. What's a sheep got? What they going to do? Look at a bear and go, bear. Who's that's going to scare? Amen. Who's that's going to scare away? No one. But you know what sheep do? When sheep know they're in trouble, they keep their heads down grazing, and when they know they're in trouble, they can hear maybe the maniacal laugh of a jackal, a hyena. They hear the roar of a lion or the bear, and they know there's trouble on the horizon. Notice what the psalmist said here. He prepares a table where? In the presence of mine enemy. You think those sheep are concerned about those bear? You think those sheep are concerned about that lion? You know what they do when they sense trouble? They do not lift their head to the trouble. They lift their head to the shepherd. They lift their head and look for the shepherd. Why? Because they know that's their defense. They do not lift their head and look at the danger. Now, I learned something from that, and I want you to learn something from it. Danger's coming your way. It's lurking around every corner. And don't you think now you're going to be able to take care of that danger. You're not. But I got a promise from you. I got a promise for you from Hebrews 13, verse number 6. The Lord is my helper. Amen. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man will do unto me. Amen. The Lord is your helper. And so here the shepherd is saying, the sheep has a table prepared for them. And that sheep said, I know the Lord is the one who prepared that table. And I could spend a lot of time talking to you about how that he does that. The sheep are left in a grazing area. And as the shepherd goes through this, usually it is that literal place, the valley of the shadow of death, he'll go there himself and he'll prepare a tableland. The tableland, which is a higher land, he'll prepare it by removing things and hindrances and making it an area where they can find more grazing and comfort for the spring of the year. And this is what the shepherd, the sheep, David had in mind, he was speaking to the shepherd, the Lord prepareth a table land for me. He's preparing a higher ground. You know, the songwriter, I love the old hymns of the faith, brethren. I love the old hymns of the faith. They're full of doctrine. The songwriter said, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have known. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Listen, when David was thinking about this, he was thinking about the victorious Christian life. Now, listen for a moment. So I thought he was talking about heaven. There'll be no enemies in heaven. He's not talking about heaven. So I felt, when he said, they'll prepare us a table for me, he was talking about heaven. Well, he said, he prepares a table for me where? In the presence of mine enemies. Now, some people think that the victorious Christian life, to live victoriously over sin and self, it can be. It can be. The choice is yours. The provisions have been made. God has made the provision. The shepherd has gone before and prepared. He's made the provision, and he's done it in the presence of our enemies. Listen, don't think that the victorious Christian life is the removal of the enemy. It's not. When Israel went into Canaan's land, the enemies were not removed. They were still present. They were still present. And yet God gave them the resources to be victorious in the midst of the enemy. And that's what God wants you and I to do. Brethren, until we leave this old land of sorrow right here, there's going to be enemies on every corner. Enemies of Christianity. Enemies of your walk with God and my walk with God. Enemies of the cross. Enemies of the Bible. Enemies of the church. Enemies. But God has prepared a table. When I begin to think about that, I begin to think about tables that God has prepared. And I want to give you three of them. But before I do, you're in Psalm 23. I want you to think about these enemies for a moment. You say, preacher, I got to take care of some enemies today. Why are you trying to take care of your enemies? I think it's time that we Christians quit trying to take care of our enemies. God didn't say take care of your enemies. He said pray for them. You let God take care of your enemies. God will take care of your enemies. This is what this psalm is trying to teach me. It's trying to teach you. God will take care of your enemies. God will do that. See, David had an enemy. The children of Israel had an enemy. And though God used David, God took care of Goliath. Don't you think for a moment that David killed Goliath. God killed Goliath. He just used David to do it. Amen? What did David say? The battle is the Lord's. You believe that? What about in your life? The battle was the Lord's. Now we said in Psalm 23, it's kind of a middle of a trilogy of Psalm 22, 23, and 24. If you go back in chapter 22, just for a moment, I want to show you what I'm talking about. Enemies. Psalm 22 starts out this way. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who cried that and where? Jesus cried that on the cross at Calvary. When God the Father had to turn his head because Jesus had become sin for all of mankind. The sin of the whole world was placed upon Jesus Christ there at Calvary. And God turned his head and the sun refused to shine. What a moment that must have been. Brethren, it was real. It was real. This is not a figment of our imagination. This is not some fable from Aesop. This is real. It was real. Jesus hanging there suspended between earth and heaven, bearing the sin of all of mankind in his sinless, spotless soul. Jesus was made a sin offering for all of mankind. And God would not look upon his only begotten Son because he was bearing the sin, your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. And he cried, my God, the only time in all of eternity, the only time in ever existence that God the Son referred to God the Father is God. He referred to him as Father and Holy Father and Righteous Father in John 17. But never did he refer to him as God until he bore your sin and mine. And then on the cross, he referred to God as God because of sin that he was bearing for your sake and my sake. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why. So that he could reconcile you and you and you and you and me and every person that would by faith trust the finished work of Jesus. Jesus was willing to be temporarily separated from the Father that we might not be eternally separated from him. This psalm is about Jesus dying for you. But you know what else it's about? Jesus fighting your enemies. I want you to notice some of the animals that are listed in Psalm 22. Can I tell you the only animal listed in Psalm 23? The sheep. You find another animal in Psalm 23, you won't do it. Only the sheep, and he's there by reference. The Lord is my shepherd. He's there by reference. But you'll find no hyenas, bears, lions, tigers, bulls, dogs. You won't find them in chapter 23, but you'll find them in chapter 22. Notice if you would, chapter 22, and I'm just going to give you a few of these. I won't give you all of them. Look at verse number 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls in chapter number 22 of Psalm, verse 12. Look, if you would, in verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. Says in verse number 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. This is Jesus speaking prophetically. The wild animals are out. The shepherd is standing, taking the defense of the sheep, even on the cross. You can even go down, and I thought this was very interesting, verse 21. It says, save me from the lion's mouth. Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. You'll find these animals there at the chapter about the cross and Calvary. But again, I challenge you to find one enemy of the sheep, one predator in chapter 23. They're not there. Because God has prepared a table for us. And God will fight our battles for us if we let Him. See, this sheep had learned what it was to let Him lead. He leadeth me. This sheep had learned what it was to follow His direction. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So as I think about that verse number 5 in Psalm 23, let me give you a few thoughts. Psalm 23 says, thou preparest a table. There's so many things I could say about this. I have to say this, that word preparest is one of the most interesting words that I began to do a word study. I love to do word studies. And that word preparest, many times when you read in the history of Israel, you'll find where the Bible says that they set the battle in array. And I've often wondered, what does that mean? They set the battle in array. Well, it's like saying, maybe you don't do this at your home, but we do when it's about dinner time. We'll call out for someone, set the table. You do that at your home when it's about dinner time? Maybe you don't. I do a lot. Listen, I still call sheets and pillowcases bedclothes. Amen. I was raised by my grandmother in the country. And the first time I said that to my wife, she thought, what in the world are you talking about? Amen. I said, it's time to get the bedclothes. Amen. And I used to call the refrigerator icebox. Still do that. But my grandmother had an icebox. She didn't have electricity for a long time. An icebox. But that's okay. All right. So we say, for dinner, set the table. Well, to set the battle in array means the table's been set. Make the preparations. We're getting ready to take the next step. Thou preparest a table. I thought about some tables, and I want to bring them to your attention just briefly. Number one, and you can turn there if you would, in the book of Matthew. Would you turn to the New Testament book of Matthew? Here's a table. We're going to be partaking of this table tonight. It's called the Table of Remembrance. I thought about as the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, set a table. I'm so thankful, as we find in Matthew chapter number 27. We'll go back to chapter 26. As we find in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus set a table. Now you can read over in Mark chapter 14 that Jesus made all these preparations. He had contacted and He had set up and made preparation for this table. You know what table I'm talking about. It's this table. It's the table of remembrance. Some people call it the Lord's table. Tonight we're going to partake of the Lord's table. Did you know every Christian ought to be here tonight to partake of the Lord's table? You ought to be here to worship God and to thank Him that His body was broken for you and His blood was shed for you. There's nothing that you could be doing at 6 o'clock this evening that would be more helpful for your soul than to be at God's house partaking with God's people of the table of the Lord. I don't know what's gotten into our churches today where many people who profess to be saved duck and dodge the table of the Lord. We ought to gravitate to the table of the Lord with hearts of thanksgiving. We ought to come with tears of rejoicing. God, thank you. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. You died for my sin. God, where would I be without you? Your body was broken. You were beaten and whipped and bruised and battered and bludgeoned. You took all of my sorrow and my sin. God, thank you for shedding your life's blood that I might know what it is to have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, there was an enemy at this table. Did you know that? Notice with me the reading of the scripture. I'm in Matthew chapter number 26. In Matthew chapter number 26, the Bible says in verse number 17, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. As this table was prepared for them, as they ate at this table of remembrance that you and I will partake of this evening, in remembering that Jesus shed his life's blood and gave his broken body, there was an enemy even at that table. There's going to be enemies in everything that we do in life, in this life. But I'm glad that God has given us the promise that we can go forward through life not having to be worried about our enemies. We need to be like those sheep, that when we hear or we sense danger and the enemy on the horizon, we don't look at danger and fret. We look at our shepherd and rest in him, knowing that he is going to fight our enemy. He has made preparation for the times of peril, and I'm thankful for that. The table of remembrance, you know what it is. Notice what Jesus said here in verse number 26 of Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank God for the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank God that Jesus did this for you and for I. Thank God that he was willing to lay down his life, a ransom for all. So there's a table of remembrance. I pray that you understand the significance of this table. If you're here this morning and you've never come to Christ, you wouldn't understand the significance of the table. When you come to a church that believes the Bible and that participates in one of the two ordinances of the church, you'll find a table like this somewhere in that church. Usually it's a place where this one is. It's the center of the church right in front of the pulpit. And it'll have on this do in remembrance of me. Because it's a table of remembrance when we look back at what Jesus has done for us. And as Christians, we look back in reverence. We look back in worship and we're thankful to God that he was willing to send his son, and we're thankful to Jesus that he was willing to come and give himself that we might know what it is to have forgiveness of sin. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, I want to tell you that his blood was not just shed for we who were saved, it's shed for you. His body was just not broken for us. It was broken for you. And John put it this way. And he said, these little things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, why don't you come to him today and trust him as your personal Savior? There's a second table, and I want you to turn to John just for a moment. John chapter 21. This is probably a table that's not recognized as readily and talked about as much. But in John 21, when you find John 21, if you would, turn in your Bible to Mark 14. You know what happened. If I would have kept reading there in Matthew 26, I would have read where Jesus said, you're all going to forsake me. And old Peter, you got to love Peter, amen. You know what Peter said? Not me. I'm not going to forsake you. Man, I mean, everybody else may, but not me. Though all of them forsake you, Lord, I'll never do that. Is that what he said? Lord, I'd never do that. Not me. I'm not going to forsake you. And the Lord said, well, Peter, I've got some news for you. You're going to. Got some news for you. You're going to deny me three times. Before the cock even crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And he did. He forsook the Lord. And I don't think Peter intentionally was saying that. I think he really felt like many do. I'm not going to forsake the Lord. And there's people sitting here today. Maybe there was a time in your life where you said, I'll never forsake the Lord. But you did. You let God down. You went away from him. You got out and you got into sin and you lost your testimony. And you maybe feel like Peter, to where you might think, well, would I ever be welcome at that table again? Would God receive me back to the table after I've failed him and after I've let him down? Would God still want me to pull up at the table of the redeemed, though I've forsaken him and though I've turned my back on him, and even like Peter, maybe you've denied him. Would God still want me to pull up at the table? The yes, listen, the question is unequivocally yes. 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 Mark 14. God wanted Peter to know this so desperately. God wanted Peter to know, like God wants you to know. God wants to forgive you. God wants to restore you. See, the table that I mentioned first that God has prepared is the table of remembrance, but this is the table of restoration. God will restore backslidden Christians. Every one of us ought to say hallelujah to God for that. Praise God that he would forgive a backslidden Christian out of fellowship. Because we've all been there in one way or another in our Christian experience. Every one of us. Notice if you would, in John 14. I'm sorry, John 15. Mark, I'm all confused. Amen? Help me, Lord. Mark chapter 16, I'll get there. Amen. I'm taking us through the valley of the shadow of something. Amen. Mark 16. Jesus is now resurrected. There were some who went down to the sepulcher. Verse number 15, chapter 16, verse number 5, the Bible says, and entering into the sepulcher, Mark chapter 16, verse number 5, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, whom was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now watch this. But go your way and tell his disciples, now watch this, and Peter. I like that. I like that. Tell them all. But if you can't get them all together or they're scattered, make sure you get to one of them. I want one of them to know that there's room for him around the table. I want old Peter to know that I hadn't forsaken him. He forsook me, but I want old Peter to know I'll never leave him. I'll never forsake him. God wants you to know that too. God wants you to know, though you have forsaken him, God wants me to know, though I've forsaken him, hey, thank God, he'll never forsake his own. Never. He said, listen, I want you to get that message out there to them. But if you have to skip John or James, if you can't get them all together, you make sure you find, I want to call him by name, Peter. You make sure you get Peter, and you make sure you let him know that I'm going to be in Galilee. Well, you go to John 21 where I ask you to turn, and you find where that occasion takes place, and here they are. And Peter, well, he was discouraged. And the Bible says in verse number 3, Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Some of you said, preacher, that's the only thing you've said so far that I think I could agree with 100%. Amen? Everything I've told you from the Word of God, I hope you can agree with all of it 100%. But Peter had gone back to what he felt comfortable with, and he thought, you know, I don't know that I'm going to be much of a preacher. I forsook him. I denied him. I just don't know what God could do with me anymore. And perhaps there's someone in our congregation this morning, you're that way. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what you've done. And it's not important that a man, a preacher, knows what you've done. God knows what you've done. God knows where you are. Maybe there's somebody here that you feel like old Peter here. You know, I might as well just go back to doing what I used to. God can't use me in church. God can't use me to teach or be on a bus route or be a part of a church or helping other people in a church. I've let God down. I've let myself down. I've let my family down. And God just won't welcome me back at the table again. Well, before you can ever get back to this table, there's another table, and I want you to notice what God did. Jesus went, and they went fishing in John 21, and he said, hey, how's it going out there? And they said, well, it's not going good. I'm paraphrasing, okay? John 21. He said, well, won't you take your net and cast it to the other side? And they did. And it filled that net. It filled it up. And boy, listen, when Jesus spoke to them and it filled the net up, Peter knew, uh-oh, that's Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says that he swam up to the shore. And look, if you would, we'll pick up our reading in verse number 10. And Jesus saith unto him, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, watch it now, come and dine. I prepared a table. And this is not the table of remembrance, this is the table of restoration. Peter, I'm receiving you back. I want you to know I do have something for you to do. What you going to do, Peter, for me? And he began to question him. And you've heard this. He asked him, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? And he's probing Peter's heart. And he's trying to get Peter to realize, Peter, you don't love me as much as you think that you do. But you do love me. You thought you loved me in one way, and that's why you said you'd never. But you don't love me that way yet. But you do love me, and I love you. And I have something for you to do. He said, feed my lambs. You see that? Verse number 15. Then he said in verse number 16, feed my sheep. And then he said it again in verse number 17, feed my sheep. Peter, I've got something for you to do. Do you know God has something for you to do too? You say, well, preacher, you just don't know. I mean, I've been backslid on God for years, or I you don't know what I've done. As I've said, I don't need to know what you've done. God knows what you've done. God's the one who's preparing this table. Don't you forget now, the preacher hasn't prepared the table. Jesus prepared the table of remembrance, and Jesus prepares the table of restoration too. Amen? Listen to me now. Now, I'm not opposed to making it right with man. I believe every person, if you have aught with your brother, the Bible has told us what we ought to do. But before we ever going to get it right this way, listen to me now. We've got to get it right this way. You get it right that way, now you're ready to get it right this way. You get it right man to God, and then you can get it right man to man. So there's a table of remembrance. Thou preparest a table, the table of remembrance. Thank God for the table of remembrance. The table of restoration. The table of restoration. I pray that for somebody here that you just feel like that God has given up on you. The devil has so beaten you down and so just suppressed you that you feel like I could never serve God again. Don't you believe him? He's a liar and the father of lies. God will restore you and use you. And then finally, and I'll just mention this one. I won't go into detail. Revelation chapter 19. This is the final table that we'll pull up to. It's a table of rejoicing. Thou preparest a table before me. Revelation 19. Notice if you would. It tells us in the Revelation 19 about in verse number 7. Revelation 19 verse 7. So we have the table of remembrance. Jesus has prepared that table. We're going to partake of that table tonight. Come join us as we worship God in reflecting on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, and we worship. And then there's the table of restoration. I invite you today that if you have gotten out of fellowship with God and out of sorts with God's will, I invite you to come down to the altar just as God called Peter around that fire that morning and said, come and dine. Won't you come? Learn what it is to dine with the Lord again and fellowship with Him. He will receive you if you will come. And then one day, we're all going to gather around the table. All the redeemed of all of time. Revelation 19, look at it, verse number 11. Let us be glad. And this is where I get my term for this table. And rejoice. It's a table of rejoicing. So we have the table of remembrance. We have the table of restoration. And here, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clothed clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. God's going to call us home to the supper one day, brethren. What a time of rejoicing that'll be. What a table that'll be. Amen. Oh, Paul will be at that table. What do you think about that? Amen. Timothy, John, Mark, Peter, me, you. Amen? That's right. If you're saved, we're all going to be sitting around that table. But you know, the head of that table and the host of that time is going to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's not the marriage supper of the church. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. Thou preparest a table. You know, God's always preparing things for us, isn't he? I'm glad that the Lord is a God of provision. I'm here to tell you, I don't know what your weaknesses are and I don't know what your needs are. But I know who can meet them. And that is the God of provision. Let's all stand this morning. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, in this life, there will be tables prepared in the presence of our enemies, but we're going to a life where there'll be no enemies. That final table will be with rejoicing, with full rejoicing, because we'll not have any enemies there. No evil, no wickedness, no injustice, no devil in heaven. What a day that'll be. I'm glad I belong to the shepherd. I'm thankful I'm a Christian. And it's not anything, listen, I have nothing to boast in. We just had our leadership conference, and what a great conference it was. And we were reminded as a body of leaders that we are what we are by the grace of God. Anything I've ever accomplished, anything you see good in me, if it's anything, it's because of God's grace, brethren. Thank God. Thank God for His grace. I wonder if you stand in need of a table today. A table. Maybe you just need to pull up and the altar and say, God, I've broken that fellowship and I need restoration today. Maybe you're here and you've lost your thankfulness and your gratefulness for what Jesus has done, and you just need to remember what he's done by the table of remembrance. Maybe you've never accepted him and you don't know what it is to experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. for the forgiveness of sin. Whatever that need may be, it can be met today because our God is a God of provision. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The pianist is going to begin to play. If you're here today and you're saved in the grace of God, and God spoke